Welcome one, welcome all to the basketball edition of the Air Raid Podcast. You are on with Albie Shore. This week, I have my boy Tyler Dupree on with me. What's up, Ty?
Hey, what's going on?
Did we ever get to the point of whether I can call you Ty or not?
Again, no one calls me Ty, but it's fine. No big deal. No big deal.
So, what about Ty?
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Ty squared?
Ty squared. That's new. That's new.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, so, whatever you want.
So how's your week going? I mean, you haven't been on the pod in a while. What's up?
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple weeks, man. Just my little girl turned 13 months, and so the world's been just crazy. My wife started tax season, so I just bunker down during tax season. It's crazy.
Do you just hide out in the corner and, like, wait for it all to end?
Totally. Can't wait for April 15th.
Oh yeah, that's when everything's due. So, but you have like 4.5 months of just terror.
Yeah, no doubt. But hey, the plus is I don't ever have to do my taxes. So yeah. There is that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, TurboTax also gets that figured out for you. But hey, you know, it's neither here nor there. So, Tyler, the Texas Tech Red Raiders, pretty good at basketball. Who knew?
Everyone knew, or they should know by now, that we are legit. We are going to be a force to be reckoned with the rest of the season. It's awesome. This is a magical dream season. I mean, think about it. If you had told me at this point we'd have 22 wins, I would have been like, you're crazy. You're crazy. And I would have taken that in an instant.
Yeah, no, 22 wins was definitely like the max of what we thought we would get. And even that, we were like, whoa, let's pump the brakes, right? Like, yeah. that was, we were talking at the beginning of the season. Andy Easton had put out an article saying 8 was the golden number, that we just had to win 8 conference games, that we'd be okay. That was what we were looking at the beginning of the season. And now, with 5 games to go in the season, we currently have 10 conference wins. So, like, that is just, I mean, 22 total wins, 10 conference wins. I think we've already compared it a lot to the 95-96 season. I think right now this is – I mean, of course, the NCAA tournament will change a lot of things. But up to this point, this is the greatest Texas Tech season ever.
Well, and it's even bigger because Kansas has dominated the Big 12 for over a decade. Like, that's just happened. And so we thought this might be the year that someone could knock them off. I don't know of anybody that said it was going to be Tech. I don't know of one person that said it was going to be Tech. But that is a real possibility, and I would even begin to say a real likelihood at this point. Now, there's still work to be done, but there is a good chance that this Texas Tech team at least has a share of the Big 12 championship, and that is crazy for Chris Beard's second year. That's an incredible leap.
Yeah, and usually you only see that if, you know, you have a five-star player that committed out of nowhere and like that. Chris Beard just went out, got the guys that were here during Tubby's time, got a couple other guys that fit his scheme that were three-star recruits, mind you. It's not, you know, we love Zaire Smith and Jarrett Culver, but it's not like these guys were ESPN top 150 players. These were three-star recruits, went out, recruited him, got him here, and they're just working within the system. He got guys that fit him, and it's been incredible. Absolutely fantastic. So let's talk about this, a couple of the games that they've played. So we're going to start with the game that was played earlier this week, or last Saturday, I should say, at Kansas State. What did you think about that game?
I mean, that game was just a drumming for most of the game. We controlled it. We played really, really well. And it was a game I felt like we needed to play that way. We controlled defensively. That's the one thing that you can almost say after every game. Defensively, we were really strong. We shut them down. It was just a really good showing, and there's not a whole lot more to say. I mean, whenever you beat a team by 20 points, and it was a 20-point win, there's not much to say other than we just dominated that game.
Yeah, I mean, we played great. We came out of halftime hungry, which was fantastic. And it seemed like there was some adjustments, man, on Beard's part. But I think the biggest adjustment was this. The team decided, you know what? We are going to win this game. I mean, it was probably the best road game I had seen Tech play since the conference opener against Baylor. You know, sandwiched in between that, I mean, Tech had some troubles on the road. You know, we lost to Texas, lost to Iowa State, lost to Oklahoma, struggled against South Carolina. We hadn't played that well on the road. And I think the TCU game was big, but like we said, like I said before, that TCU game might as well have been a Tech home game at some points. I thought at Kansas State was the best we had played on the road since that first Kansas game, and we played. You know, I mean, actually, to be fair, you know what, Tyler? We are the Kings of Kansas. That's what it is. We own that state.
Man, that feels good to say, doesn't it? Yeah. Man, that feels good. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
We call Fort Worth Lubbock East. Mm-hmm. Kansas is now Lubbock North.
I love it.
It is what it is. So after giving K-State a bit of that smackdown, we decided to come back home to the friendly confines of United Supermarkets Arena, which is the worst named arena in college basketball. That's neither here nor there. God, that's an awful name. I kind of want to go on a tangent about how bad that name that is and how great a name United Spirit Arena was. Like, it's crazy how one word can change the entire meaning of an entire arena.
I think they got in trouble by United Airlines and they had to change the name. I'm like 98% sure that's
so they couldn't think of something else like supermarkets where you decided to go. Like, you couldn't like there was no other S word to use.
Bro, it's a supermarket chain. They aren't really known for their creativity, okay? Like, come on, give them a break. They sell bread.
I mean, just, you know, come up with something. I don't know. Like hire a firm. Like, supermarkets is not the way to go, okay? I mean, do we need that? You know what? If Lubbock had HEB, this would have never been a problem, okay?
I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah. But anyways, to my original point, they came back to the friendly confines. You know, there was a guy with kind of a little talented that decided to come to Lubbock, and he was going to try to jack up a bunch of threes, and he was going to win the game with the power of ESPN behind him. I don't know if you've heard of this guy.
I don't think we should speak of his name. He's already been spoken of too much. Let's just make it a thing. We don't speak his name.
That's true. You know what? That's a good rule. That is a good rule. We will not speak of Voldemort's name. We will not speak of Voldemort's name. But this guy that I speak of came to Lubbock, got harassed. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He got harassed. And apparently it affected his shot. He went 0-for-9 from 3. And Tech, once again, spanked that hiney. What'd you think of the game?
It was awesome. It was an incredible atmosphere being there. That's exactly what a top 10 basketball team, their home court should feel like. It should feel electric. It was awesome. I mean, there were people there hours before the game, students lining up hours before. That's the way it should feel. And then you had a team come out and perform. And that's what this team did. They played really well. And they did what I thought that they would do with He Who Shall Not Be Named. At the first of the year, they ran a lot of defenders at him. You had Jarrett Culver playing him. You had Zaire Smith. You had Brandon Francis. You had Keenan Evans for a second. You just had a lot of guys guarding him, and you bodied him up. You made it really difficult for him. And look, he's gonna make some shots. There was one drive that it was ridiculous. I don't know how that ball went in, but it did. But the thing is, you made him shoot in volume. And that's the key with Young. Oh, I did it, didn't I? Can we edit that out? Man, that's not bad. That's not bad.
I'll find myself for that.
I know.
You had one word.
ESPN. Can we blame ESPN? I'm going to blame them. So
it is usually ESPN's fault, but you now lost all VTM bucks.
Dang it. Okay. So, but they just, that's what you have to do with him is you just have to make him shoot a ton to get his points. He's going to get his points. You just have to make him shoot a lot.
Yeah, I mean, but so the thing for me is that the way Oklahoma plays, that's a bad brand of basketball. Like,
totally.
I was watching some of his highlights, and actually there was a video that we retweeted on the Viva account. Somebody had tweeted out about all the threes that he took. And the thing about the threes that he took, it wasn't like he's just taking threes to take threes in the confines of the offense. He's literally walking the ball up and jacking up a three with a hand in his face. Like, that is that's bad offense. Like, if you're the coach, how do you let that happen? How do you let a player do that? At the end of the video, one thing I found very interesting was that it was the highlight of Keenan Evans walking up and passing the ball. Like, that was, like, kind of showing the difference between the two. Yep. You know, Keenan Evans, if he walked the ball up and jacked up a three, he'd be yanked. He'd be pulled. He'd be sit down. Naeem has you. Like, that's not winning basketball. That's get him to the league basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, and that just absolutely doesn't work. So, at the end of the day.
It's why Oklahoma, their offense can get so stagnant and slow, is because everybody just gets fixed on he who shall not be named, and no one moves. And in the Tech offense, it's just not that way. You are moving all the time. Keenan Evans is not dominating the ball all the time, which makes it even more impressive when he scores 25 points, because he's not having the ball on every possession, every second in that shot clock.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so that's – and it's just – better offense. I mean, we have guys moving the ball around on our team, and maybe, who knows, maybe that's the reason why Trae Young. I mean, dang it.
you did it too. Tyler, see?
I did it too. So we're even. We're even. No VTM bucks for anybody. But maybe that's one of the reasons why I do think that he went to Oklahoma as opposed to coming to a Kansas or a Kentucky or even a Tech. It's because at Kentucky.
Well, no, we know that he didn't come to Tech because we didn't have the talent, right?
Yeah. We'll get to that in a little bit. But
Okay.
At Kentucky, Calipari is very vocal about the fact that he doesn't care if you're Anthony Davis or who you are. You're going to have to share the ball, and you're going to have to play within the confines of the team. Bill Self, maybe not be – he's not as vocal about saying that, but it's obvious. When he had Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid on his team, he still wouldn't let them just go off, you know. And so far, the way Coach Beard is coaching everywhere he's coached, he also says you got to play in confines of the team. People forget, at the beginning of the year, he started five seniors. Zaire Smith and Jarrett Culver had to work their ways into the starting lineup. And so, at the end of the day, he who should not be named, going to Oklahoma, it seems as if Lon Kruger was like, yeah, you and Brady Manick, y'all will start. Don't worry about it. You'll start. You'll get majority of the ball. You'll be good to go. But one thing I'll say in this game, and what we can move on from it, is that Oklahoma, this was arguably the best game played by what's the guard's name? James.
Christian James.
Christian James. This was his best game he played all year. He should have been fed the ball. And he actually dropped at the end of the game, started to scare me, because I'm thinking, this guy right now has the hot hand. If they feed him the ball, he could kill us. And he still put up 23 points. Yep. But they refused to feed him. I mean, early in the game, Brady Manick started going a little bit, but they went away from him. Instead of giving him the ball down low where he has the advantage, they said, you know what? I know you have the advantage. I know you kind of look like you can get going right now. But instead of that, we're just going to jack up threes here from the back behind our star player. Like, that's not good basketball at all. Oklahoma could have won the game on Tuesday. They could have won the game if they had coached the game better. But they're going to live and die by that light-skinned god, so that's just what's going to happen, you know? But a little bit about, and we can say his name now because we're going to go away from the game, but a little bit more about Trae Young. He did say, while being recruited, that one of the reasons, and so let me bring this out into an entire context, right? So he's being interviewed, our USA Today reporter is at his house, and they're featuring him because he is an ESPN Top 150 recruit. So they're basically just featuring him as a player that's being recruited by a lot of high profile places. Now, he wasn't the highest profile athlete or anything like that, but they want to do a feature on somebody who was getting recruited by places like Kansas and Kentucky and things like that. And he and his dad, Ray Young, who we all know, great Texas Tech legend, I would say, he's a Texas Tech great, mm-hmm. Agreed to it. So the USA Today reporter is in their house, and they're just talking about all the schools he's looking at. They're talking about all of them. So he already has the top six, and Tech is in his top six. So they're running it down. So, you know, they get to some of the schools. They talk about Kansas and the pros and cons of Kansas. And so, and basically, they get to Texas Tech, and Ray Young starts talking about how he would love Trae to get to go to Texas Tech, how, you know, that's where his school – that's Trae Young starts hyping him up. Or Ray Young does. Trae, who is who also shares the same namesake as Rayford Young, Trae says, it would be cool to break all my dad's records, and it would be cool to be their first five-star recruit ever, which he wasn't a five-star at the time, but I digress. But they just need more talent. I'm sorry, I just want to win. To where, I mean, he said that to not disappoint his dad. His dad kind of on the back end says, you know what, it's okay, son. I also don't like the system that they run. I like them to get up and down the court more, which, in all honesty, Coach Beard is, the offense isn't one to just run up and down the court. So Rae Young is right about that. We like to slow the game down a little bit and things of that nature. So that's what kind of Rae was kind of able to save face a little bit and say, you know, I'm not a big fan of the way they run, et cetera, et cetera, and things of that nature. But I don't have a problem with Trae Young saying that he just wants to win. He doesn't think we have enough talent. We didn't go to the tournament last year. We lost a lot of close games. I actually don't have a problem with what he said. This is the problem that I have, Tyler. The problem that I have is that after saying that, you committed to the second worst team in the Big 12. That's the problem I have with his comments. What about you?
Yeah, here's the thing with Trae Young. I actually like the kid. I think he's a good kid. I think he comes from a good family. And actually, I don't even mind what he said about Tech. Because here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, we all expected him to go to Kansas. And if he's comparing the rosters of Tech Kansas preseason, Kansas roster looks better. But what I'm saying, what I do think happens whenever you bring a reporter into your home and you give them access and you know they're going to tell everything that you say in the world, you set yourself up to get hit. You set yourself up. And so I don't feel bad for him whenever everybody is yelling at him, whenever everybody is talking about, hey, Tech doesn't have talent. Look, you made this bed whenever you invited that reporter. Now you'll lie in it. That's okay. Yeah. I'm not mad at anything. I don't think there's anything, no one has done anything wrong, but it's totally fair game to make fun of him as much as we want because, hey, just don't say it. Don't bring a reporter in and you can say whatever you want to your mom and dad. That's totally cool. But as far as like what he said, it's pretty benign. It's not that big of a deal and it's all part of recruiting. And at the end of the day, it wouldn't have been a great fit for having Keenan Evans and Trae Young in the same backcourt. That would be, you would make it work if he's on campus, but I mean, that's just not the way it's going to work very well with a ball dominant guard in a motion offense.
That's very true. I mean, I will say though, with different coaching, and I do think Beard is a better coach than Long Kruger is. I know that Long Kruger has a history that would say, you know, that he's this, that, and the other. But I'm convinced that Beard can make better adjustments than Long Kruger can. I think that we see a different Trae Young. Maybe not a Trae Young that leads the league in scoring and in assists, but a Trae Young that plays more within the confines of a team. But also a Trae Young that probably doesn't get drafted as high. So I think he made the right choice in going to Oklahoma, to be fair. My only thing is just that it's to me, it's either a lie or you're misguided. You know, it's one thing to say that I like Oklahoma because it's close to home, things like that. But when you say, you know, when you say, and I actually read the USA Today story when he was being recruited, you know, to me, and that was the day that he actually made his final three. And the only thing that I found weird about his final three was that his final three had Oklahoma and Oklahoma State when he said he wanted to go somewhere to win. So I'm like, okay, well, then you're definitely going to Kansas. Like, that's – to me, I was like, okay, well, he's definitely – like you said, he's going to Kansas off of that. But one thing I will say is that you did say that nobody was in the wrong here, but was there somebody in the wrong? So during the game, it's already been publicized. Seth Greenberg made a big deal about it, so we're going to talk about it. There was a supposedly FU chance
There's no shouting. Supposedly to it.
I got to say allegedly because I was watching the game on mute. I didn't have the sound on.
I was in the building. It was
all right. So yeah. So FU chants were without the F and with the other words. Those were loud and clear apparently. And, So we had a big argument on Slack about it. A big argument we had, and it's basically two people on separate sides of the fence about it. I don't think there's anybody condoning that behavior. Let me just put that out 100% from the beginning. I do not think there's one person in the world that says, "Yes, go out and scream F you to 18-year-olds." Like that's it is ridiculous. It is asinine.
Right.
But my opinion, what I said on Slack was, is that at the end of the day, we just like we talk about how it's ridiculous for us adults to criticize 18-year-olds, the people shouting F you Trae Young are also 18-year-olds. These are 18-year-old college kids acting like 18-year-old college kids. Now, even though we would like them to behave better, we can shout them to strive for honor until we're blue in the face, at the end of the day, they are still 18-year-old college kids. What do you say?
Yeah, I get that. I mean, it still bothers me, and I really dislike, even whenever we do the fight song, you know, that part of it as well. But like you said, we're not the only fan base that has students behave on the border or cross the line. And so to me, that's part of big time college basketball. And it's a part that I would love to see us clean up. But I also don't know exactly how you do that. How is that something that you enforce? Are you going to kick out the whole student section? Because, I mean, it was deafening from that side of the building. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to kick everybody out? I just don't know what to do. But it's unacceptable. I wish they would change it.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, it's right. If there was a way to change it, I think it'd be great. I do think that if everybody was saying we will hit him, we will wreck him, Texas Tech, that'd be great. Unfortunately, we all know that's not the case. But like I said in Slack, like I brought up in Slack, almost every university that I know of has a vulgar rendition of their fight song, right? Like since I live in Houston, I go to quite a few U of H games, and U of H has a similar song to where at the end of their chant, where instead of saying Mighty Mighty Cougars, they say MF and Cougars. And that shit, I mean, it's college kids acting like college kids. Now, I don't sit in the student section like I used to when I was younger. Now I sit, you know, kind of across the way where they do say Mighty Mighty Cougars. But it's college kids being college kids. And I at the end of the day, I'm not necessarily, like you said, who you're gonna kick out, how are you going to, police that. Back in the day when Bob Knight was here, I guess somebody, I can't remember what exactly it was, but some fans were acting obnoxious, and Bob Knight actually took a microphone and yelled for them to cut that out, you know? And I'm sure they, dang sure they'd cut that out. And so, and maybe that's what it is, you know, if it needs a coach, if it needs Coach Beard to say, hey, y'all cut that out every time that there's an FU chant going on. I do think that is it's ridiculous to happen, but like I said, I do think it's getting a little overblown. I think that if it wasn't Trae Young, that Seth Greenberg from ESPN would have never brought it up. If they were screaming FU Brady Manick instead, it'd be a non-story.
Tell Seth Greenberg cannot tell me that's the first time he's heard that in an arena. I mean, there's well-documented times that this has happened in multiple arenas with Duke, North Carolina. I mean, this guy has covered for years college basketball. So I do think, to me, I don't think he was very fair as a journalist going, hey, this is unacceptable. This shouldn't happen. Unfortunately, it happens a lot of places. Yeah. You know, he acted like this was such a rare occurrence and this never happens anywhere. And that's crazy. I've been to enough opposing stadiums that I've heard it in person.
Yeah, exactly. So he just everybody just needs to cool it, all right? That's the main thing. Everybody just needs to cool it. Speaking of cool it, you watching this Winter Olympics? So I'm watching women's snowboard cross, all right? So this might as well be the Winter Olympics version of the Air Raid Pod, because I'm watching this snowboard cross. Earlier in the pre-pod, I was telling you about skeleton and how it's a fantastic sport. Now they've got women's snowboard cross going on, and it's racing. Because we already talked about how you don't like Winter Olympics because there's not enough racing. This is four ladies on snowboard racing each other. People are falling, all right? It's going all different types of ways. You cannot tell me that the Winter Olympics isn't great.
It's X Games Plus. X Games
don't race. Not like this.
That's got to be in the X Games. It's weird. No one pays attention to it. That's definitely got to be in the X Games. I don't know. Winter Olympics are like JV version of real Olympics. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's just real Olympics, but you have to wear a coat. That's all.
That doesn't make any sense. You gotta, it's real sports. You just got to survive the freezing cold. Basically, don't die is the sport.
And cool. That makes it even more intense. See, so really what you're saying is that Winter Olympics is a better Olympics, regular Olympics. That's what I heard. That's exactly what I heard.
Negative. Well, exactly you need to get your ears checked.
Put any sport, and think about football, right? Isn't football so much better when there's like a crap ton of snow everywhere, like games in Buffalo in December?
No, that football is not good. I don't know what football you watch.
Fantastic football. What are you talking about?
No,
that is great football.
It's terrible to play in, and it's terrible to watch. It becomes just a punt fest is all it is. It becomes a kicking contest.
I grew up playing football in Houston, so I have no idea what it feels like to play.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
But it looks great.
Yeah, yeah. You think it's really fantastic. It's definitely not.
I'm just saying, it looks great. So I equate snow football to all of Winter Olympics. Like, they should put – you know what? They should expand Winter Olympics and include all the summer sports just in, like, freezing temperatures.
I can't.
3-on-3 basketball wearing snowshoes.
Outside. This is just too much. Can't do it.
segue into the NCAA selection committee decided for the second year that they were going to have a mid-season selection show. Basically, they were going to put their top 16 teams and where they would be seeded if the tournament was to start today. All right. And at first, when they did it last year, I thought it was kind of stupid. Like, I don't understand why y'all were doing this. But we also had zero chance of being one of the top 16 teams, so I didn't care as much. This year that I saw it, I now understand why they did it, right? It creates buzz, it creates fanfare, and it's a reminder that March Madness is approaching. So actually, now that I'm in it and I can actually see my team there, I completely understand why they did it. It's a fantastic idea. So one thing they did accomplish is getting people in an uproar. And two of the main things that got people in Lubbock, Texas in an uproar, one was Oklahoma shockingly found their way as a 4 seed. They were the number 16 out of 16 teams. This was after they had just lost, before playing us, but after they had just lost what was their third game in a row. But for some reason, the committee still would have them as a 16th team in the country. And the second thing was that not only was Texas Tech not a 2 seed, but they were pushed to third, while Kansas, a team that we had a game up in the conference on and had beaten already, was the 2nd seed. You watch it?
I did. Let me tell you why fans shouldn't be mad. Okay, let me tell you why they shouldn't be mad. One, this selection show is pointless, and it is just a way to get eyeballs. But even if you get away with that, the whole reason that they had Kansas projected higher than us is they believe Kansas is going to win the Big 12. That's the only way it makes sense. Okay, so what they believe is that Kansas is going to come into Lubbock and beat us, and then Tech is, you know, seemingly going to lose to a West Virginia or someone like that. So that's the only reason that it makes sense for Kansas to be over us. And I will be honest, you know what, given Kansas's track record, I think it's fair to give them a benefit of the doubt. They've had 14 years of winning this league. So, you know, if history repeats itself, then they're going to win it again. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think that's exactly what the committee did. I think it's a projection. It's not about what they've done now. It's a projection of what they're going to be. And that's why I don't think this selection show thing is actually a controversy, because they're just projecting. They're not telling you what should be currently.
So it's not supposed to be a projection. So are you saying that that's how they did it? Or because it's supposed to be, if the season ended today, this is what the bracket would be.
I don't care what they tell us. It is 100% a projection. There is no doubt about it.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to break down to you, Tyler. And this is actually the reason why Kansas was put in ahead of Tech. And everything you said could be true. But this is how I look at it. So, yes, Kansas has more losses. Yes, Kansas is a game back in the Big 12 Conference
in the Big 12 standings. Yes, Texas Tech beat Kansas, but this is why Kansas is a 2 seed and Tech is a 3 seed. Tech wouldn't was not going to be, because Tech wasn't even the highest 3 seed. Tech was not going to be a 2 seed. So let's as Red Raider fans, let's take that in. We were not going to be a 2 seed in this. Mm-hmm. People also need to realize that the AP poll and the committee are two totally different things. The committee doesn't even take the AP poll into account. They don't care what those AP voters think, say, how they position it. It matters none whatsoever. There have been teams that were ranked that did not make the NCAA tournament before. You know, so like none of that, those do not go hand in hand whatsoever. What the NCAA tournament does go off of is RPI, strength of schedule. A lot of the times your last, say, about 10 wins. And a lot of times, and when it gets down to the nitty gritty, external factors, like if you had a recent injury, how you played on the road, et cetera, et cetera. So because they take that into account, when you look at these things, you have to look at things. First two things you have to look at is RPI in terms of schedule. Kansas's RPI, they are ninth in the country, and they have a strength of schedule of the fourth toughest schedule in the country. That is how Kansas got a 2 seed, is because of the strength of schedule and their RPI. Tech, on the other hand, just got to 11th after that Oklahoma victory, and we have a strength of schedule of 64th. Our non-conference strength of schedule was 218th. That's why Tech was a 3 seed. You know, and at the beginning of the year when we were on this pod a while ago, we talked about how we liked Tech's schedule and how we liked the fact that we play teams like Northwestern and teams like Boston College and teams like Nevada and things like that. And we liked this. We thought it was a good schedule. Now, it was a good schedule given where we projected the team at the beginning of the year. You know, we wanted to play some teams. We, especially 3 years past, we never played anybody serious, so we liked the schedule. Now that we're a top 10 team, things change. I mean, you know, now that we're a top 10 team, it's not just playing, Boston College, things like that. We actually, you know, now we're getting compared with a team like Kansas, a team like Virginia, that went out and played people in non-conference. And that's kind of the problem, the issue that we're dealing with now. And then not only that, but some of the teams we played have had bad seasons. I mean, Northwestern's not having the season that we thought they would have. Maine is killing us. Maine has like a 5-win season in a bad conference. Rice has a 5-win season in a bad conference. Like, so these things are affecting our strength of schedule and affecting our RPI. That's the reason why Tech's a 3 seed. And that's the reason why, honestly, Tech has a very, very, very small chance of truly becoming a 1 seed, even if they went out for the rest of the season, being a 1 seed because of these factors. Now, a 2 seed is definitely within reach, but they definitely have to win the majority of their games from here on out to even be a 2 seed. A 3 seed is, if we're projecting, is the most likely scenario of where Tech is going to be because of these things. Now, in the future, you know, now that we know where our program is headed, now maybe then we schedule a Duke or a North Carolina or a Kentucky or things like that to make our strength of schedule better. But without those games, it's just something that's going to stick to it. I mean, like you said, it's not that big of a deal. At the end of the day, we're still going to be in the tournament. We're still going to be, if we're a 3 seed or a 2 seed or a 5 seed, none of it really matters. Just go out and play who you have to play. But it is a good way to get everybody riled up.
And if we win the Big 12, here's the thing. If we win the Big 12, we will for sure be seeded higher than Kansas, because they have said that they value conference champions.
It's true.
So
that is true.
If we take care of business, it's not going to matter. It's going to be a moot point.
Yeah. Exactly. You're exactly right. And so the future Big 12 champions, Texas Tech Warriors, do have a big test on their hands this weekend. They go to Baylor. And if you would have told me like a week or two ago that Baylor was going to be something for me to be scared of, I'd have been like, I ain't worried about those Bears. They suck, right? At one point, they looked like the worst team in the Big 12. But after 4 straight wins, the Baylor Bears are ready and raring to go this Saturday. And it's a home game. Last week on the pod, I said I was scared of the Kansas State game. I actually even predicted us to lose the Kansas State game. I'm not going to predict us to lose this game, but I do have the same trepidation that I felt last week about this Baylor team, or about this team that we're playing, a team that's hot, a team that's at home, and a team that needs a win, a team that is kind of desperate. Because if Baylor wins this game, they go from being – trying to get to the NIT, so they will likely be in the next round of Joe Lenardi's bracketology with the win against us. So they're going to be pumped for this game. What say you?
Yeah, I just don't feel the same way. I feel really confident with us with Baylor. I think we go in to Waco. We really take care of business, and I expect it to be a 10 to 15 point win on the road. I don't think Baylor has enough mental fortitude to just be able to get out of their own way. It seems like every time they start getting momentum, they trip themselves up. And we can talk about injuries, but I don't want to hear about injuries because we have Zach Smith on the bench, so I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So I'm not as worried about this particular Baylor team. I don't see the place that they'll hurt us. The only thing that can be hurtful is their weird zone defense, and if we can't hit a three, or if we can't decide to penetrate into dish. But the truth of the matter is, I just trust Keenan Evans to be able to get us over that hump on whatever we need to do offensively. He's done it all year.
Yeah, and we've broken the zone all year. Like, so a zone doesn't really bother me that much, because we're actually a team that, and I don't know why other teams don't do this. A lot of teams, when they see a zone, they say, we're going to shoot threes. We do the exact opposite, which is smart. We say we're going to penetrate the zone. We're going to get it to our guys and work inside out, which is the best way to attack the zone. I think one person to look out for in this game is Joe Luwal Asuil. How do you say this? Joe Luwal
Asuil.
Asuil. Always gives me tongue-tied. But, yeah, he's going to have a big game. He's going to have a good game. They're going to definitely attack him more than anything else. I think the Bears are going to make a mistake if they think Manu LaCombe is going to be their primetime guy. Because that's the mistake they made the last time we played, that Manu LaCombe was going to be this, you know, world beater and really set it on fire. And he had a pretty subpar game. And so if they do that same game plan, they're going to lose this game. But if they attack with Joe Luwal, they actually have a very good chance, especially at home, if they really go and work some magic.
I just don't think he has enough offensive firepower to win them that game. I think if you look at Mo Bamba, you look at some of the other big guys in the conference, I was way more scared of them than I am of him. I just don't think offensively he's got it. I'm not saying that he's not going to be better than our two big guys. The question is he going to be better than Keenan Evans?
I don't think he'll be better than Keenan Evans, but I do think he'll be big. And so if you put him, and let's say even Manu LaCompto puts up 15, but then you have Joe Luwal that puts up 20, 25, that's a pretty nice little tandem you have there. And I actually think you're underrating Joe Luwal. I think Joe Luwal is actually one of the best big men in the conference. I really do. I think that he is a guy, especially against us, and that being our primary weakness down low, he's a guy that they can definitely exploit. But like I said, I do think that Tech should be the favorite. I also think that one thing that I love about Tech fans is that whenever they back a team, they back them wholeheartedly. We've been getting a lot of tweets about people that are going to go down to Waco for the game. I might even go down to Waco for the game. I'm right now trying to, you know, I have some obligations I have to do here in Houston, but if I can get free of those things, then I might even be in Waco for that game. And any game in Texas or Oklahoma for the rest of the year is going to have a Texas Tech presence.
Absolutely.
And so that, and it's not like Baylor has the best fans to begin with. I mean, we talked about it earlier, that the Farrell Center used to be a pretty tough place to play, but not anymore, you know? And so that's a game that it could easily turn out to be just like a TCU game, to where at halftime it's red and black party. So even though I do think Joe Luwal is a guy that could have a big game. Actually, I think he's going to have a good game. I still think Tech's going to win, and I agree with you. I think Tech is going to win by double digits. But this is definitely a game that, you know, Tech's done a good job recently on the 7-game winning streak of not letting hungry teams bite them. You know, everybody's getting bit by the hungry team, and they're not. And Baylor's a hungry team right now. I mean, they're probably the hungriest team in the Big 12, not named Tech. And but this would be a good way to let that hungry dog starve.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So, and, you know, we could get into a preview of the next game we've got going on. But really, it's you know, Tech has, and that game being at Oklahoma State, It is another road game, but it's once again, it's another hungry team on the road. Texas has to take care of business. The big game that we're really looking for is the following week, home against Kansas. I almost no doubt the College Game Day is going to be there. Regardless of what happens in the next week, this game will probably decide the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
All I want, to Tyler, you're not going to be on the pod with me next week, so all I want is a brief thought of what you think about the game against Kansas. Team shouldn't look ahead, but we're going to look ahead.
Yeah, I'm really nervous about it, probably because, well, of course, Tech actually plays pretty well at home against Kansas, historically. I don't say we always win, but we played really well.
We and not to cut you off, but we always play, anytime Kansas comes to Lubbock, we always outperform what we usually play. I remember years ago, during the Billy Gillespie days, we were winning by a point at halftime against a top, tough Kansas team. 2 years later, we had a game. Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid came to Lubbock and lost and only won because of a Joel Embiid tip-in with like a second to go. I mean, and these were not good Tech teams. So Kansas always has a tough time against Tech. They may win some games, but they definitely don't play as well as they usually do. But continue.
Yeah, I expect Tech to have a really good game. I expect us to be up for that game, but I also expect Kansas to be up for that game. So I expect it to be really, really close. I am going to say that our Red Raiders are going to pull it out, but I think it's going to be in the final minute. It's going to be decided in the last minute, maybe even overtime type of thing. But at the end of the day, I think our Red Raiders find a way to win at Kansas. And then the real question becomes West Virginia right after that.
Back to back.
Exactly. But if you beat Kansas, you give yourself breathing room. If you take care of business before and you beat Kansas, you give yourself breathing room and it doesn't matter. So that's what I expect to happen in next Saturday here in Lubbock.
Dude, change the channel to NBC right now because women's snowboard cross is on and people have already fallen twice. It's amazing. I agree with a lot of things you said. Like I said, I'm not going to get into it next week. Well, it'll be a much bigger pod, hopefully after two road victories by the Red Raiders. I do want to get into – we had some major news that happened today. NCAA – laid the hammer down. All right, let me rephrase. They didn't lay the hammer down. It's just a report. It's a Yahoo Sports report basically saying that they're going to lay the hammer down on many teams because on this pay-for-play scandal that all really started with Rick Pitino and the idea that Adidas basically pays him a salary to get players to sign with them and that money kind of trickles down to players as well. And that just started it. Then the FBI got involved. And now, who knows? I mean, the report said that it's over 50 teams. Apparently, half of the 16 teams that were mentioned on that selection show is going to be involved. Can I just say that I'm like 98% sure that Texas Tech's name is not going to pop up? So because of this, I could just sit back and relax. I mean, if this scandal pops out in the next month or so, Tech's probably going to be the number one overall seed while all these other schools get sanctions. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I feel the same way that I'm like, man, for once it feels good to not have a top tier program for so many years because, hey, here's the thing. If we were cheating and this bad for the past 10 years, like we just need to shut it down. We just need to be like done because, I mean, that's really bad if you were cheating and still that bad. So I'm pretty confident. I'm not saying we're squeaky clean, but I don't think we're having anything like what's coming out in this report. And so I will say one other thing, that it's a great time to be a program on the rise who's not going to be involved in all of this mess, because there's going to be some teams, big-time teams in the Big 12. The report names a lot of teams and hints at them. And so I'm not exactly sure what those teams are going to be, but you're going to see household names get hit with sanctions, and those players got to go somewhere. So, hey, take a, it's just a short plane ride out to Lubbock. We'll take you happily.
we'll take you.
Come on, Zion Williams. Come on, whoever you want. We'll take everybody. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing about it is that Rick, the what first started this is Rick Pitino and Adidas. If you are a high profile Adidas school, you should be very, very, very worried. And there's two. The two that come immediately to mind in the Big 12 are Kansas and Baylor.
Yep.
And you know what was also in the report? What it said is that high profile coaches would be taken down, lottery players would be taken down, and basically high profile recruits. Who are two schools that have high profile? I won't call Scott Drew a high profile coach, but he has gotten high profile recruits, and of course Bill Self. Those are the main two that if anybody in the Big 12 gets busted, Kansas and Baylor are the two schools that I can almost guarantee you are going to be listed in that on that report. Big programs. I mean, I've you know, and this some readers may find me disgusting for this, but I've been a Duke fan since like, you know, 2000. I've loved the school for the last like at least, or I should say like last two decades. And Coach Krzyzewski, I love the guy, but he's probably coming down. Right, like he's probably going to come down with it. North Carolina's probably going to come down with sanctions. Michigan State, Tom Izzo, you need to retire right now. You already got the scandal with the Larry Nassar going on, and now this, Larry Izzo, go ahead and pack it up, buddy. You know you're going to start hearing John Calipari is going to go to the NBA. Like it's all about to break apart. And as a school that is, like I said, 98% sure it's not us, we should be okay.
Yeah, because here's the thing. This is not the the Boy Scout NCAA who just fumbles everything that they're ever given in terms of investigation. This is the FBI. They're not playing around. They don't care how much money you bring to the NCAA. This is going to come out, and no one is going to be protected from this. I don't care how big you are. You're not going to be protected.
Yes, and because of that, it's going to be fantastic. And for anyone that, and before I let this go, but I know I might already hear things people asking. Excuse me. People asking, well, how can you be so sure Tech's not going to be on it? And we don't 100% know. I mean, you know, Tech's name could very well pop up. But like Tyler said, if our name pops up and we were still as bad as we were during the Gillespie and Pat Knight days, then we have bigger problems to worry about. But a couple things is that Tech's never had a five-star recruit. We've barely ever had four-star recruits, if we're being honest. We don't have our the main sponsorship deals you should look out for are Adidas and Nike. Adidas for sure, and they did say they're going to try to go look after some of the Nike stuff as well. Under Armour has never had a basketball prep program that to be proud of anyway. They've never been just this invested in AAUs like Adidas and Nike is. They just haven't been that big into basketball. Now if this was football, that might be something different. But in basketball, it just hasn't been Under Armour's cup of tea. They're trying to get into that mold, but it just hasn't been there. So the fact that we're an Under Armour school, the fact that we've never had top prospects, the fact that we haven't been that good up until this year, and maybe 2 years ago we went to the NCAA tournament, those are pretty safe bets that Texas should be in the clear.
any company that puts out the Steph Currys from last year, look, they're not a major basketball player, okay? Yeah, it's just, I'm sorry. That's all you need to know. Just go look up the Steph Currys from last year that look like your 90-year-old granddad's shoes. They're not a basketball school.
You mean the Ryan Smith Sevens?
That's them.
Yeah, I know Ryan heard that. So yeah, it's about to be fun stuff. And I, for one, can't wait. Can't wait. So as we talk about the teams that might have some scandals hit, let's talk about some other teams that are going to be playing this Saturday. While I put you under the bright lights of my podcast pick 'em. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, so we're going to start off. We're going to go with the 11 a.m. game, the Red River Rivalry. That's not that exciting. Like, the Red River Rivalry in basketball, nobody cares. Like, nobody cares. But anyways, I digress. Texas at 23rd-ranked Oklahoma, who will not be ranked much longer. Who do you have?
Oklahoma gets off the slide here.
They're going to win against Mo Bamba, huh?
Oh, yeah. No problem.
So this is a battle of two teams that are really bad right now. Like, these are the two worst teams in the Big 12 right now, or playing-wise right now. I mean, they're both on losing streaks. Texas went from people slandering us and saying that we're ridiculous for saying they may not make the NCAA tournament just a few weeks ago to now they're themselves saying, oh my God, we might not make the NCAA tournament. You know, they're 15-11, 5-8 in conference. They're playing really bad. But then you got Oklahoma, and that's a team that, like we talked about before, it looks like they've been figured out. So it's luckily Oklahoma's at home, so I agree with you. I do think they're going to win this game. And the difference is that Oklahoma has been losing games to good teams as opposed to Texas is losing games to everybody. Mm-hmm. I think Oklahoma's going to win this game. And I lost here, man. Texas, they might actually be out. As crazy as that sounds, they might actually be out of the tournament. And Shaka, man, that seat gets warmer and warmer. No, he won't be fired this year, people. But it's going to be tough coming back next year, I tell you. Next one up, a game that really nobody should care about, if we're being honest. That's Iowa State at Kansas State.
Do I have to make a pick? I don't know. Who cares? Iowa State. Sure.
Sure. You're going to go with the team that I don't think they've won a road game all year. No, they haven't, actually. But, hey, I like your moxie, Tyler.
I just want to show my utter disregard for that game. Who cares? Just mark me down for whatever. It doesn't even matter.
Well, I'm going to go Wildcats, but like you said, it really doesn't matter. I will say K-State still is on the bubble for the tournament. They need wins as well, and they definitely cannot take bad losses like what this would be. So the crazies in Kansas finally get a home win because, you know, they are starving for one after the beatdown the Red Raiders gave them. Next up, a night game between another set of two teams that no one should give a crap about. Oklahoma State at TCU. What you got?
TCU.
TCU at home is who you're going with, huh?
They have to get in the tournament, right? Like they were ranked number 7 at one time. And although that was a ridiculous ranking and we all knew it and I was never a believer, like they're not this bad, right? Right? Certainly they got to get in the tournament. So they got to start turning it on. They got to win a game. That's what's going to happen. They're going to win a game.
So Oklahoma State still has a sliver of hope getting in the tournament. The problem with Oklahoma State is that they pull off these great upsets that nobody in the world could ever think about them pulling off. And then we'll lose to Iowa State. Like I don't understand. Like Coach Boynton for Oklahoma State has to be just pulling his hairs because he does have a team that's good enough to make the tournament. But they've suffered such bad losses that they're probably not going to. And a loss here is probably going to be the first nail in the coffin for them. But I agree with you that TCU is going to win this game because they need it just as bad. So TCU wins it. So what is going to be the game of the week for everybody else? 20th-ranked West Virginia at 13th-ranked Kansas. The battle for second place. Who do you have?
That's Kansas all day. I just really believe that – and I think all the stars are aligning, okay? The Big 12 championship is going to be de facto played in Lubbock, Texas next Saturday. All the stars are aligning. That's what's going to happen. So Kansas is going to win. Then they're going to come in next week and get beat by the Red Raiders. We're going to win the Big 12. It's going to be magical, and we're going to ride off into the sunset. That's what's happening.
I like your optimism. I cannot say that you have this just jacked up in any way. Here's the thing. So West Virginia in their last four games are 3-1. And even the one game they lost home against Oklahoma State, they played fairly well. I mean, Oklahoma State, like I said, for whatever reason, decided that that's the game we're going to play incredibly. But, you know, West Virginia's actually gotten off the snide and have played pretty well. Then you got a Kansas who in their last four games has lost two of them. I'm actually going to say that West Virginia upsets Kansas here. I don't think Allen Fieldhouse is like it has been in the past. I think West Virginia is playing a good brand of basketball right now. I mean, Kansas, let's face it, they beat Iowa State by 6 the other night. Like, it's, you know, they're not world beaters right now, and West Virginia looks to be back to their old ways. I'm going to go ahead and say West Virginia on the road avenges their earlier season loss, and that just and actually we'll get to it in a little bit, but that could possibly give Tech a 2-game lead in the Big 12, which would be amazing.
I'll take it all day. Yeah. But the stars are aligning. It's fate. It has to happen. Albert, you're wrong.
I'll kick you off this show. Okay.
You gotta do what you gotta do, bro.
Hey. The real game of the week, though. The real game of the week. The real only game that really matters. I don't care what everybody else outside of Lubbock says. This is what matters. And that game is in Waco, 7th-ranked Texas Tech at the Baylor Bears, two of the two hottest teams in the Big 12, two of the hottest teams in the country playing each other. Who do you have?
Yeah, Red Raiders. Like I said, I think it'll be a 10 to 15 point win. I don't think it will be. It'll be close, but I think we'll pull away probably with about 8 minutes left.
This game, I believe, goes the exact same way the Oklahoma game went. I believe that Joe Luau, beginning of the game, plays pretty well. I believe that Manu Lecompte tries to jack up a lot of shots. He's been shooting pretty well lately. He's been shooting some of those NBA range threes, some of those Trae Young long-distance shots, and they've been going in. And I think he tried that again. I think he misses a lot of shots. I think we smother him. And despite Joe Luau putting up 20 points in this game, I think Tech, in what, like you said, a close game, I think with 5 minutes to go, Tech pulls away and wins by 10. And I think the only fate that's going to be happening here is, dude, in Winter Olympics is so great. Like, this person jumped up in the air,
skiing, you've got to be kidding,
and flipped like 5 times. It's fantastic. But back to my original point, Texas Tech's going to win this game by 10.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me.
So, we're going to take a small break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit about another sport that actually is going on at Texas Tech in the springtime. It's not basketball. It's not football. Ah, yes. The number one in the Big 12, Texas Tech Red Raiders, play baseball starting on Friday. We'll get into that.
This is Texas Tech University.
We inspire.
We discover.
We succeed.
We ride.
We share our traditions.
And our innovations.
We are champions.
We work hard.
And play louder.
We are many things.
But wherever we go.
And whatever we do.
Every day.
Every day.
Todos los días.
Every day.
Every day, we are Red Raiders.
Longer the basketball edition, we're switching over to baseball a little bit, and no more Winter Olympics. I've been banned from making any more Winter Olympics references on this podcast today. Anyway, next week
you're all welcome.
So baseball season is upon us. The opening day is Friday, and Tech. I mean, we're preseason ranking. We're the third team in the country, first in every preseason Big 12 poll. This is an exciting year for the Red Raiders. I know we were all disappointed last year when we weren't able to go as far as we all wanted to, but this is probably the biggest expectations that a Texas Tech baseball team has ever had, arguably the biggest expectations that any Texas Tech team sport has ever had. And we have Ryan Smith here to give us a little inkling as to what we can expect from the Red Raiders this year. So Ryan, what do you see? How do you see Tech doing this year?
I see them doing very well.
I don't think that they're going to have the same success as they did last year. Last year was just an unbelievable season, another 45-win season. This year I have them somewhere around 38 wins, and that's pre-tournament, obviously. But I still think that we'll probably finish second in the Big 12. We'll host a regional, and we'll make a deep run in the playoffs.
So you're saying we're going to have a worse year now. Are you saying worse year as far as the regular season, or like you think our end-of-the-year outcome will be even worse? I don't know if it can get much worse.
No. I think we'll make a deep run in the playoffs. I'm saying that our win total will be lower this year than last year. We lost some pretty big thump from our lineup. When you talk about Tanner Gardner, Hunter Hargrove, Orlando Garcia, those guys in the middle of the lineup could hit home runs and hit for power at any moment. And going up and down our lineup right now, not saying that we don't have potential power hitters, but it's not power stacked top to bottom. And that leaves a big question about, are we going to start manufacturing runs? How are we going to generate run totals? And obviously, it'll be answered throughout the year. We'll probably see guys getting their first chance to start, as in Cam Warren at first base. We have some couple freshmen that can hit. Michael Davis should return to form a little bit. He had a big power year last year, increase from the year before. So the power is going to come. Just right now, we have no idea who is coming from. And when you're on offense, that's kind of a kind of shaky deal. Our pitching staff, it'll keep us in it. But I think we'll be around the 38 win total. I don't think we'll quite get to the 45 tier that we were at last year.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I mean, because 2 years ago we had Gutierrez. Last year we had Hunter Hargrove. I don't know who that guy is going to be that we can like lean on and say, okay, this is our
Josh Young.
It's Josh Young. That's our one guy. But you have to also think that even back with Eric Gutierrez, give me just a second. You had guys around him that were also big thumpers. Whether it's Corey Raley. Say what?
I said like Hunter Hargrove, because he was still on that team as well.
Yes, but he had not risen to the point. That year he had a great postseason run. I mean, he had kind of a late, he was his coming out party. Last year was absolutely just phenomenal. But give me just a second. I'll pull up who, and I'll kind of give you an idea of who was around Eric Gutierrez in 2016.
So while you pull that up, Tyler, what is your prediction for this season? How do you see us going on?
Yeah, I'm not going to argue too much about us finishing second, because I mean, we won the Big 12 for two straight years. So I'm not going to argue too much about that. One thing I would say is I think we are going to be better than Ryan is giving us credit for. Here's my whole reasoning behind it. You have a catcher that batted 300 last year, and he had to transfer out because he wasn't going to start. I just don't think you're going to be that bad offensively. I think you're going to find guys, because this is what we have found over and over again. Cody Farhat last year, his freshman year, he didn't produce anything. He has a breakout year last year. And I think you could say the same thing for Tanner Gardner, his freshman year, sophomore year, he broke out. So I expect there, and maybe it's not a sophomore, but I expect that there is going to be a few people on this Tech team that are not well-known names. They're going to have breakout season. They're going to carry some of that offense. Because Corey Raley, whenever he transferred in, he had a big year. I just believe, and most of this is because I believe in Tadlock more than anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, one thing, and I kind of agree with both of you in this instance. So, Ryan, you brought up a really good point as to how many people we lost last year. And I agree with that. And so whenever I saw the preseason poll, I thought to myself, well, I'm surprised we're third because we lost a lot of talent. Like, we lost a lot of, good guys. So is it us being third, is that because of the belief in this team, the belief in Tadlock, the belief in some of the younger players? Or has everybody else also lost a tremendous amount of players? I know TCU lost a good amount as well.
Well, I think it's a lot about our pitching staff more than anything. If you look at our starting rotation, it's stacked from top to bottom with Gingrey. You've got Davis Martin. Some people think Ryan Shetter's going to be in there. Jose Quezada. Don McMillan's going to be in there. And I think the pitching staff is what really gives this team its pump. Not to sidetrack too much, but we go back to the guys around Eric Gutierrez. You had Stephen Smith in 2016, Tyler Nesloney, who is tearing up the Atlanta Braves minor league system right now. He'll probably start in Double A this year. He'll be in Triple A as the year goes on. And like Tyler said, Corey Raley is the DH. You had so many big time thumpers, and you know, Tyler's is absolutely right. Those guys that we're looking for are going to come out. But right now, from their stats last year into this year, the only guy that can hit for power at the drop of a hat, other than maybe McMillan, who we don't know how much he's going to get to bat, whether it's DH, right field, or he's pitching and being hit for, whatever, is Josh Jung. And that's it. We have so many question marks on who is going to come with the power. Last year, we knew it was going to be Tanner Gardner. We knew it was going to be Orlando Garcia. We knew it was going to be Hunter Hargrove. And we knew that we had those guys in the middle of the lineup to really stabilize. And, you know, if our pitching did have a bad day, that our offense would keep us in it without having to manufacture too many runs. That's all I'm saying, is that there's a question mark there that we don't know going into the season who those guys are going to be. They're going to come. They always do, like Tyler was saying. They're always going to come out. People we've never heard of before. People that we're not expecting. But we don't know who it's going to be.
Right. And all you can also say about McMillan is the dude is straight Paul Bunyan. All he does is hit home runs or strike out whenever mm-hmm. he gets up to bat. So that's one that I'm like, dude is almost legendary in the way that he either hits it all the way out of the park or hits nothing at all.
Yeah, and you know, he hit 229 last year, and right. he was sporadic. And there's a couple of times where there were big points that we were looking for him to be in the lineup, and he wasn't in the lineup for whatever reason. I don't know if it was coaching decisions or whatever. There was a couple of times we thought he'd be brought in to pitch a little bit more, and he wasn't. He did pitch quite enough, but you know, we're looking for him to take that step this year as a sophomore, but we don't know what his role is going to be. We thought he'd be DH right field, getting more playing time. Then news coming out of the bullpen. News broke over the offseason that Tadlock wants to incorporate him in the starting rotation. Well, how much starting rotation time is he going to get, and will that take away from him playing right field or being in the DH with the recovery time of being a pitcher if he goes 5-6 innings? Also, what does that mean for his arm? You know, he's the kind of guy that goes in there throwing 98 to triple digits. If he's going to be a starter, he has to dial that down a little bit, or else he's going to go maybe 3 or 4 innings. Now, Tadlock being unconventional, he doesn't really care. Yeah, he'll pull a guy out in the third inning and be like, hey, let's get to the bullpen. And I'm like, then what's the point of having a starter? But yeah. Who knows? That's what I'm saying. Tadlock in a media availability, he basically was asked the big question, who's going to start at shortstop replacing Orlando Garcia? And basically, the answer to that will fill in who's playing left and who's playing right and who's playing second. And we just need to know whose that is. And he goes, well, you know, Michael's settling in over there, and Gabe Holt can play a little over there. And
Gabe Holt.
Little can play a little over there. And he just like ran down the entire middle infield. And he was like, one of those will play over there, and if we need to, we'll put somebody else in. I was like, thanks for the update, Coach Tadlock.
It's like I said, it's the Belichick Popovich way, you know. These are all evil geniuses.
Yeah, I get that in the Red and Black series, but a week out from opening day, you kind of start wanting some sort of idea. Not that it matters to us fans, but you kind of want some idea of who this is going to be and what to expect. So, it's just, there's some question marks that we're looking forward to getting figured out. And
you know why, Ryan? It's because Tadlock listens to the Air Raid podcast.
Does he?
He knows that other coaches do too, and he doesn't want to reveal any of his secrets.
I know Kingsbury listens to the Air Raid during the season. I know that for a fact.
They all do. I mean, all the they listen to like I said, they're gonna double team Joe Lowell simply because of what I talked about in the basketball section.
Okay? They obviously read or follow VTM on Twitter because they get all of Coach Beard has Jeremy's plays that he sends in there via Paint, and he's like, all right, this is what we're gonna do coming out of a timeout.
Because what they're gonna do, we're gonna alley oop Zaire out of this picture. On the Twitter.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But it sounds like we're gonna have a really fun season.
I've said it many times, as y'all know, I'm a big baseball fan. I've never been a big college baseball fan up until the first time Tech went to the College World Series a few years back. That's when I started following college baseball, and I really just started following Tech. Last year was the first year I followed college baseball as a whole, and so I'm excited for year two in that aspect. As far as me, I believe that Tech's going to have a good year. And because I'm not as knowledgeable when it comes to college baseball, I can be a very optimistic, know-nothing fan that just says Tech's going to win every game. So I'm going to say Tech goes undefeated.
That's awesome. The whole thing. And think about this. Think about – it's kind of like Texas Tech offense and football. How spoiled have we been as Texas Tech baseball fans over the last – 4 or 5 years since Tadlock has arrived, where we're scoffing at a 38-win prediction for the season, hosting a regional and being second in the Big 12. And I say second in the Big 12 just because I think TCU has a little bit better of a little bit better of a roster right now. And also, if you look at Texas Tech's schedule, they've got TCU on the road, OSU on the road. Both of those guys went to the College World Series. They have Kentucky on the road, Louisville on the road, Baylor on the road. There are a lot of the big teams in this conference. We go on the road this year. So I'm just sitting there looking at how many road games, not seeing just as many. I'm talking about 6 or 7 less. It's not like it's going to make or break our chance to get in and host a regional. I just don't think it's going to be quite as big of a year that we had last year as far as wins go. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. That's a good thing.
And you brought up a good point as far as how spoiled we've been the last 4 or 5 years. One thing I really like is that – so in football, and no matter how bad or good the teams are, let's face it, Oklahoma and Texas are kind of our two – for the conference, our two standard bearers, right? And basketball, it's Kansas and maybe West Virginia some years it's Baylor, but it's usually just Kansas. And baseball, what it's becoming is that the standard bearers for the Big 12 are becoming Texas Tech and TCU. And I like the fact that we have a sport to where every year you come in and say, okay, well, Texas Tech's there. You know, you have to know that we're going to be there. We're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And it's a sport that we can stay at this level. You know, there's not that excuse of, oh, well, you know, it's Lubbock. It's not, you know, that's not an excuse in baseball because, hell, we can just stay to recruiting Texas guys and we'll still be, national people. So
you make a great point, Albert, because baseball talent is so much different in how to get to your end goal of the pros or wherever compared to other schools. You can get drafted out of high school. You can go JUCO route. You can go D1 route. And it was even more interesting in the past because you could be technically drafted every year. And depending on where you were drafted or to what team, you could decline that draft status and go back and play. You didn't have to declare like you do in the pros. So you could, or even in, basketball, it wasn't even as formal as what Zach Smith did. It was just, you're eligible to be drafted. A team may draft you, and it may be either a team you don't like, or it may be, hey, I think I can get a higher draft status the next year, and you could just say, I'm going back to school. It was really interesting to see, which I know college coaches are probably scratching their heads because they don't know who's going and who's coming, but it's really interesting on how that works, and you're right, it does not matter. There will always be good baseball players funneling in to play D1 ball because it doesn't hurt them where they go like it may with football.
Those are good points. And TCU is going to be really tough, especially with Ivan Drago's little brother, Lucan Baker, still on the
roster. Why do we have such an issue with Bakers?
I don't know,
man. I know.
But this guy
is Trey Young's middle name Baker?
It has to be. It has to be. But this guy is just a mutant. That's the only reason you dislike him, is because he is just a mountain of a man in a 19-year-old body.
And John McMillan is our answer to that. So we're looking for him to take that next step.
You're Paul Bunyan versus Ivan Drago. That's
what So if we hear FU Baker chants at the Tech TCU game, we know you started it. And we know who to.
It's not me, and I wouldn't do that because it's in Fort Worth.
No,
I wouldn't do that.
Don't put that on me.
We're definitely, yes.
I mean, 2 years ago, we got issued for watering the tree. Tadlock threw some water, and it got on some cheerleaders, and that was a whole big mess. So I wouldn't be looking for any FU Bakers coming from the field there in Fort Worth.
Everything's Tech's fault. Let's never forget that. Well, that concludes the Air Raid podcast. Tyler, where can the people find you on social media?
You can find me at TDippery on Twitter. It's the best place.
That is the best place. All right. What about you, Ryan?
You can find all of my Get Off My Lawn tweets at AV Coach Smith.
Yes, it is a very boring and annoying follow.
Because you don't get enough of me in Slack, is what you're saying.
Well, I think I muted like everybody in everybody's Twitter. I think I have muted when I'm on the Twitter page, except yours. And I don't know why I haven't muted you yet. But your tweets always pop up on my timeline when I'm doing the Viva Twitter. And I'm like, why is Ryan?
Could not tell you.
You can find me at Mr_AlbyShore on Twitter, on Instagram, on it all. Don't follow me on Snapchat, but on Instagram and Twitter.
You're such a hipster. God, Snapchat.
Hey man, it's what the kids are doing. Okay. Y'all be easy. Go watch Black Panther. It's a great movie.
Oh yeah.